Well, in the 3 weeks since Easter, we have been dealing with a series of messages that really speak more to the believer, to us, about our committed relationship to the Lord. Easter is God's demonstration of how much He loves us, and we followed it up that first week by asking the question that Jesus posed to Peter, "How much do you love me?" And Jesus posed that to Peter, and He said, "Peter, do you love me more than your friends here? Do you love me more than fishing and the things that you've gone back to?" And Peter eventually was able to respond and say, "Yes, Lord, I love you. I don't love you at the depth that you love me." But then the Lord posed the question to us, how much do we love Him? Are we committed to shepherd and to do what He says with His people? Last week we looked at the life of Elijah, the prophet of God. How in the midst of a nation that was in sinful turmoil, and most people had turned their back on God, even the king, the godly king, the spiritual leader of the nation, had done so, that Elijah stood alone against the crowd. And we looked at how in life you and I are going to be called as committed followers of Christ to stand alone at times, to take a stand, and to do that. And we saw that in 1 Kings. This morning, we're going to use some technology today, but it's acting up, and we'll just go from here. But a message entitled Burdens, Thorns, and Crosses. I'd ask if you have your Bible, turn with me, though, to the Gospel of Matthew, to the 16th chapter. Matthew 16, we're going to look at verses 24 through 26. Burdens, thorns, and crosses. Now, when Jesus, in this particular passage, and we're going to stand just in a moment to read verses 24 through really 26. Jesus, in this particular time, when He gave this particular teaching, has gathered with His disciples at Caesarea Philippi. There's Caesarea by the sea, but this is Caesarea up in the mountains. Jesus is on a spiritual retreat with His disciples. It was during this time that earlier in the passage, if you were to read it, He had been asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And we had that great announcement by Peter that "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, Jesus in His teaching gets down to some serious, serious scriptural application. Verse 24 of Matthew 16, I'd ask you to stand if you're able in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We're going to just read verses 24 through 26. In these particular verses, Jesus gives a very strong application about commitment. What does it really mean to be a follower of Christ? Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." In verse 25, He says, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man," in verse 26, "what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. We're going to come back to the passage in just a moment because it deals with cross-bearing. But I want to take a few moments this morning, and I'm going to move really quickly through this, that there is a great misunderstanding of what Jesus meant to bear your cross. And actually, at times, you'll hear people say, if they're in a particular situation, "Well, that's just my cross to bear." And I want to change your thinking, if I can, this morning, because the title of the message is Burdens, Thorns, and Crosses, and we're going to get through this first part really quickly because a burden is not bearing your cross. What is a burden? Well, the encyclopedia, and if you Google it, it'll tell you basically that a burden is something emotional, spiritual, or physical, a difficulty that you have to deal with. That's a burden. Life is full of big and small burdens. You might not have been alive long, just hang on. You'll have some burdens. You can say that's your burden to bear, but don't say it's your cross to bear. That's not the same. Looking after elderly parents, Rose and I are beginning to do that. If you want to ever help somebody find the Lord, let them ride with my 89-year-old father on I-40. You'll find Jesus. I can tell you that for sure, okay? And my dad is still very alert and still going hard. He's got a big Cadillac, and he knows how to make you talk to the Lord. I sing, "Nearer my God to thee," when he's under the wheel, okay? Well, that's just a burden, but also grandchildren. Now, I don't mean grandchildren are a burden. I don't have any yet, okay? But when suddenly your children and your grandchildren boomerang, some of you don't know what boomerang kids are. Some of you do. You're living with it right now. That is, you throw them out and they come back. They bring more with them. That can be a burden. But it's not a cross. Then there's thorns. Thorns are those things in our lives that come into our lives that pierce us deeply. I don't know about you, depending on where you grew up and where you played. I love being outdoors, still love being outdoors. And the one thing I never like running into, I never like pruning roses. Any of you like doing that? I've got some you can prune, okay? But there were thorns, but I'd run into sticker bushes. And sometimes it hurt a little bit, but if you made the mistake of playing with your buddies and getting pushed into one, it hurt a lot. Well, thorns are those things that come into our lives that surprise us physically or spiritually or emotionally, and the loss of loved ones can be a thorn, something we didn't expect that suddenly pierces us, a sickness, surgery or cancer, a heart issue, it can be a thorn. Losing your job or your home can be a thorn. In life, we have burdens and thorns. Jesus said about burdens, "Come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I'll handle your burdens for you." Thorns come into our lives, and sometimes the thorn gets pulled away, and we get well, but sometimes it doesn't. In fact, the next 2 weeks, starting next Sunday, we're going to deal with those issues of burdens and thorns and sorrows. But today we're looking at cross-bearing and living with thorns. You say, well, why do I have to live with thorns? Well, the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul himself spoke of the fact of a thorn in the flesh. Nobody knows exactly what it was, but that the Lord allowed it to touch his life, and yet it was a thorn. But that was not his cross. So when we come to this passage, it's important that Jesus didn't say, "Bear your thorns," and he didn't say, "Carry your burdens." He then said, again, if you want to come after me, deny yourself and take up your cross. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean for believers to bear their cross? Because Jesus is saying if you're an authentic believer, you've got to bear your cross. Well, the first thing we see is in verse 24, if you have your Bible and you'd like to look, it is a personal choice. First of all, it involves choice. Bearing your cross involves choice. He says, if anyone wishes to come after me. He didn't say you have to, but he said, if you're going to be my follower, you need to make the choice to be my follower. So the first step is bearing your cross, and that's why it's different than a burden, because the burden will come upon you. A thorn will interrupt your life, but a cross, Jesus says, you choose it. If you're going to come after me, you're going to choose your cross. And we're going to look at that. So the first step in all of it is it's a personal choice. If any man will, it's a deliberate choice. Why are you here today? I could ask some of you. I'd like to do that. I'd love to do a study one day in churches and ask people why they're here. And if they were really honest with you, some would say, well, it's Sunday. I've always been in church. I don't know anything different. Others come because, well, I want to experience the Lord. Others come for other reasons. But you made a conscious choice to be here. That's the same thing with your cross. If any man or any woman will, if they wish to come after me, they must make that choice. The second step, it begins to get a little more difficult, is self-denial. Won't you look again at verse 24? He says at the second part, he must deny himself or she must deny herself. What does that mean? That's tough, folks. That means that you basically disregard your own interest. Huh? That's what it means. It means you disregard your own interest. You just say no to yourself. And instead of WWJD, I never really did like that. What would Jesus do? I didn't think it was a bad question, but I heard somebody one day who had a better answer to the question. He said the better thing that we should have worn on bracelets and t-shirts was DWJD. Do what Jesus did. But we have to know what it is first. That's what it means. Self-denial means that we have to put Christ first. We have to put God first. That's what Jesus did. In the book of Philippians, it said, though that Jesus and God were equal, and that God had highly exalted Him, that He took on the role of a servant, that He came down. He denied Himself to the point of death on a cross. People go, well, didn't Jesus come to die on the cross? Yes, did Jesus want to die on the cross? Yes, Jesus the Savior wanted to die on the cross. But no, Jesus the man didn't want to go to the cross. Some of you go, what? If He wanted to go to the cross, why did He pray in the garden before He heads to the cross? Father, if there's any other way for me to accomplish what You've called me to do, if there's any other way, let this cup pass. And yet, because of self-denial, He was willing to bear His cross. We must deny ourselves and take up our cross, because I want you to know that your cross is going to get in the way. It means putting Christ first. It's that beautiful passage called the Great Commandment. What is the Great Commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with what? With a little bit of your heart, with a little bit of your soul, with a little bit of your might? No. With all of it. Christ first. There's a wonderful new book. It's been out a while, and there's a sermon, and there's kind of a church-wide series, and I've just kind of looked at it a little bit. I haven't taken the time to read it. They're doing t-shirts, and it's called I Am Second. And what it's talking about, when it comes to my life, I'm second. It was the Apostle Paul who said that I gave up everything to follow Christ. That self-denial means putting Jesus first. So you make the conscious choice to take up your cross. If you're going to take up your cross, then you have to keep it up. You have to deny yourself, because yourself is going to say, no, I'd rather do it my way, not Christ's way. The third step, you do it daily. I want you to look at what he said in verse 24. Take up your cross daily. Now, here's what you need to know. Nobody's cross is the same. There isn't some standard thing where we go, okay, we're going to fit you with across everybody's cross that they take up. And we're not talking about a physical cross and you being nailed to it. What we're talking about is God's call upon your life. It's an individual thing. The cross you bear, the cross you are called to bear, is an individual thing, because we are all individuals and God will call you individually. When I was in the 10th grade, the Lord really working on my heart, I made the decision publicly to tell folks that I was going to be called to ministry. That is my cross to bear. That is the individual cross that God gave me, to be a preacher of the gospel. That is how I follow Him. I follow Him as a Christian, but I carry also my cross as the cross of a pastor. What is your cross? Maybe it's the cross of a Christian teacher or the cross of a Christian business person. That's your cross, and in that, you are to take it up daily. You make that personal choice, and you're to deny yourself. That means at work and at school and at leisure and in everything else, you are to carry the cross. And I want to tell you, folks, you do it daily. Some folks, when they leave here today, are going to get home, take off their Sunday clothes. I do take off my Sunday clothes, boys. I had such fun yesterday. I ran into some of our folks at Lowe's, and I had on a hat and jeans and a sweat, and they really didn't recognize me because I don't dress that way on Sunday morning. And part of the reason I do that, Tammy, I didn't come see you. I don't know if you're working or not. I really, she's seen me that way. So I just had fun messing with them. And one of the younger ones, I'm not going to point him out, looked at me and said, "I thought you dressed this way every day." Well, no. I'll scare you one day. Now, I won't do it on Sunday morning, but if you come through here one day, I'm liable to have on flip-flops and cut-offs and a T-shirt and be unshaven. I'm not always this pretty, but, it's an individual thing. But I want you to understand about cross-bearing. One, it's a personal decision. Two, you must deny yourself, because in bearing your cross for Christ, it's going to go against the way you want to go. And you must do it daily, but it is not easy. I want you to understand that. That's what Jesus is saying to them. Because he goes on to say in verse 26, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul?" He asks the question, if you wish to save your life, then you've got to lose it for his sake. That means you've got to be his follower all the time. And it's not easy. And I'm going to tell you that bearing your cross is going to cost you. Young person, it's going to cost you. Because you're going to have to stand up for Jesus. Young adult, it's going to cost you. Because if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you've got to be a follower of Christ all the time. Not just when it's popular. Middle-aged adult, it's going to cost you. Senior adult, it's going to cost you. Because there are going to be people. It might be your boss. It might be your coworkers. They don't understand why you are the way you are. In fact, I want to just share with you that cross-bearing is not easy this morning. In Matthew 5:11, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Just when you come to me, you're going to be rich and have cars and you'll be blessed." He never said that. In fact, he said these words. We don't preach on this often. People don't want to hear it. "Blessed are you when they persecute you, when they say all kind of evil things about you, and they revile you." You go, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for that Christian course. The one thing they never taught us in seminary, I hope to have the chance to go back one day, but they would kill me to teach in seminary because I would tell them the truth, and I would go that becoming the pastor of the church or becoming a deacon is not a good thing. It's kind of like the fella who his wife caught him talking to those 1-900 numbers, and he wanted somebody to talk dirty to him. His wife sent him to the pastor and chairman of the deacons met with him. He said, "You just need to come on to us, brother." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You become the chairman of the deacons or become the pastor, then people will talk dirty to you every week for free." Amen? Oh, yeah. Step on their toes one time too many. You'll find out. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Paul said that all who desire to live for Christ are going to be persecuted. Peter spoke of chains and burdens and difficulties. Why do I say that? Because bearing your cross isn't easy. Loving Jesus isn't easy. Standing alone against the crowd isn't easy. And one of the sad realities today is that we don't have true Christianity in America. We have too much American Christianity. And I want you to know that American Christianity today is not something Jesus recognizes. Let me tell you about it. Statistics prove that there's a wide gap between what most Christians practice and what this book says. Here's what we know. Most people who claim to be Christians seldom make weekly attendance a priority. It's my day of rest. I just can't get there. In fact, we have a new name for the ones that only come at Easter and Christmas. They're called priesters. I had such fun. I rode by a church near my home. I think it's a Lutheran church in Thomasville, and it's got a sign up. I thought it was really cool. It says, "We're open between Christmas and Easter." I thought, that's good. That's really good. Let me tell you about these folks that are American Christians. They won't give hardly anything, and they certainly don't give sacrificially. They want sermonettes. for Christian it, given by preacher it. They want their ears tickled. They want to hear how wonderful it is. They want to hear about prosperity and about how I can be a better person. They don't want to hear about sinfulness, personal sinfulness, and a literal hell. They want business connections that get better, folks. They want a place for family baptisms. You ever had any of that happen here? Amen. I didn't think I'd get any of those. They want church-funded family celebrations. I loved it at one of the churches I was at. They would borrow the fellowship hall and the food and the silver and this and that. They'd leave it a mess, and it was the church's responsibility to clean it up and pay for what they did. Have I got a witness? I didn't think so. They want a place for their non-attending children and grandchildren and cousins. And you better get an amen on this. And friends to be buried free of charge. Amen? And I'm not talking about holidays. I don't know what you do here. I remember at Rose's home. Y'all enjoyed this illustration. They were getting ready to have homecoming and a big gathering of people. And Rose's family, her brothers really, and I think Rose, you may have done some of it, looked after the cemetery. They mowed it and kept it up and everything, and it's a big cemetery. And Rose's brother is meeting with her daddy, and they're going to send some of the folks that are buried there, and their family members are buried there, and say to them that we could stand a one-time donation. Didn't cost them anything to dig the grave. I mean, when I talk about free, it was free. And I looked at Rose's dad. It didn't put me in great stead. You might try that here. And I said, well, I know how to get some money out of them. I said, tell them if they don't send you $100 to look after the cemetery where their mom and their daddy or their granddaddy or their uncle's been buried for the last 25 years, you're going to dig them up and put them on the edge of 904. Come and get them! Some of you are looking at me like Rose's dad did. He didn't laugh, I can tell you that. I'd have dug them up. That's American Christianity, folks. It's the idea that the church is here to serve me. We've forgotten what Jesus said about bearing your cross. In fact, and I'm really going to have fun with this one. The Republicans have done the same thing, but the Democrats have sure forgotten. I've made everybody mad this morning. What John Kennedy said, he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Boy, that's foreign, isn't it? Amen? That's the way the church is. They talk about the love of Jesus, but they're kind of like the guy who wrote the poem, I would climb the highest mountain, I would swim the deepest ocean too, I would crawl the hottest desert, I'll do anything for you, I would leap the tallest building, I will bear any trial or pain, there's no limit to my love, and I'll be there on Friday night if it doesn't rain. Folks, personal choice. Not to believe in Christ. Personal choice to be a follower. To take up your cross. Self-denial. And to carry it daily. You see, one of the sad realities is that there are a lot of folks in our churches and a lot of folks on our church roll who, when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, are going to hear words that are going to terrify them. Depart from me, I never knew you. I run into folks all the time and go, yeah, I know who God is. I know who Jesus is. Listen, dummy. Yeah, I called you dummies. Even the demons knew who Jesus was. It's not about knowing Christ. It's about following Christ. It's about, in that first message, loving God more than these things he pointed to. It's about being like Elijah when the whole world, including the government, is living wrongly. You decide to live rightly. It's about being a follower and not a fan. It's about being a follower and not a fan. For Jesus said, if you're going to do those things, if you're going to make the personal choice to take up your cross, if you're going to deny yourself and you're going to do it daily, then do what? What does the end of the passage say? Follow me. Now let me tell you this. Following Christ is not easy. In fact, the scripture says that Jesus, after he had taught this to his disciples, began to teach it to the crowd. And the crowd, it says one day that Jesus got kind of hard on them. It says that many of them departed that day because what he said was too difficult. Because Jesus wasn't the miracle working, fun, loving, everything's wonderful Jesus all of a sudden. He told them what really is expected. And it says many of them, many of his disciples, many of his followers said, ooh, that's too tough. In church, we do it a different way. I'm not getting fed, so I'm going to go find somewhere where they feed me. Yeah. I met some of those folks who want to be fed. I know not every church is perfect. Not every pastor is perfect. We're not even close, okay? But I like it when folks tell me, we're going to go find another church. We're not being fed. No, you're not hearing what you want to hear. What you're doing. Amen? Follow me. Following him comes with a wonderful promise. One, he'll never leave you or forsake you. He may take you some tough places. And there'll be some sacrifices. If I had to look back and think of all the blessings that Rose and I have given up over 32 years of, or the blessings we've received over 32 years of ministry, far outweigh the sacrifices. But I want to tell you, it's tough when you get 2 or 3 or 4 weeks Sundays off a year to go be with family, and when you have to try to, you miss birthdays and you miss this and you miss that, and you think, you know, that's part of me bearing my cross. That's part of me bearing my cross. That's putting Jesus first, and that's what he's asking us to do. Are we going to put him first? He said, if you really want to save your soul, you got to lose it for his sake. Jesus has a question this morning. Are you a fan or a follower? Fans love to cheer when things are good. Followers make a personal decision to deny themselves, to take up their cross daily, and follow wherever he leads. Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say. And the response in the Baptist church has always been, wherever he leads, I'll go. But too often we're like the fella who said, I'll be there on Friday if it doesn't rain. Let's pray together. Lord, cross-bearing is not easy. Cross-bearing means we put you first. And American Christianity only knows about putting themselves first. It is sad that we have fallen so backward that way, Lord. The church, instead of being a place where we serve you and serve our community, now is a place where the church serves me and looks after my needs and my children and what I want. God, forgive us for our failures. Lord, this morning I come in a time of deeper commitment, not recommitment, deeper commitment. I made the choice as a Christian, not as a pastor, to follow you. Help me, Lord, in those days ahead when I want to put the cross down, when it's too difficult to continue to bear my cross and to follow you daily, realizing that in the future there is laid up for me and for all cross bearers, glory and the salvation of our soul. Amen. We're going to sing that song. Take up thy cross and follow me, I heard my master say. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me, though wherever he leads, I'll go. I just want to warn you this morning. I'm not going to watch whether you're singing or not. But if you're going to sing it, you better mean it, because those words become a testimony against you when you get to heaven. Because next week when the Lord says, okay, the nominating committee is meeting and we need somebody to do this, and you go, oh, Lord, yes. I'm all for somebody doing it, but not me.
Or when at work the Lord asks you to take a stand and to show how much you love Him, and you go, but Lord, I got to stand against the crowd. That's tough.
It is tough. I can tell you. I can tell you it's tough. Lean it and mean it, and He'll bless you. Now, if you're looking for a church home, we've got a good one. We've got people that bear their cross here. Do they do it every day? I don't know that I do it daily the way I should, but I'm committing to do that better today. We got nobody here that's perfect. Some might think they are, but we know better. Amen. If you need to come to this altar and just say, Lord, I put my cross down somewhere along the way. Somewhere along the way, I got off the field of service and I got into the grandstands of life, and I started thinking that the church owes me more than I owe you. Maybe you've never entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't know what it's like to even experience the glory of the cross. I will tell you, cross bearing is not that little piece of gold nugget that I have right here up under my shirt that I wear every day. Never take it off. It's more than that. We'll see what our response is today. As the Holy Spirit does His work, Ms. Ruth's going to come and lead us, and we're going to stand and sing, and you respond as the Spirit speaks to you. Maybe you need to come here and pray and say, Lord, I'm taking up the cross again daily. Whatever it is, don't worry about what anybody else thinks, because there's not going to be anybody else with you at the throne except the Lord. It's just you and Him right now.